This is David Thielen. We are recording Mr. J. Russell Wheeler at his home on Maryland Street in Milwaukee on July 31, 1963.
I was talking about, and I thought that was the proper thing, and he suddenly hooked the fish. We were in the lake. We hadn't got in the river yet. And suddenly, I turned around and the boat tipped over. My fishing box and all my tackle went to the bottom, and he had a fish on. That's what I was turning around impetuously to tell him how to handle it. He got a fish on it. Well, he got the rod back, but the fish is gone.
Was this Dean Russell?
Pardon me, what?
Was this Dean Russell?
Yes.
Who caught the fish?
No, my son.
Oh.
No, Dean. Dean was in one boat with his son, and I was in a boat. We both paddling the canoe.
I see.
And my son was paddling the canoe, and I sat in the bow temporarily. He'd been casting and he got a fish on, and he yelled, "I've got one." And that's when I turned around, you know, and did just the damn thing that I told him not to do. And tipped the thing over, and we're all running the water and got soaked. And we had to hang our clothes on the line and pump the fire that night. And we stepped out in the open air, and blankets and so forth. But we got our bedding all wet. We had to dry that out. Oh, we had a nice time. I'd like to do it again.
Well, I suppose many people have asked you about Louis Sullivan, about how he came to design the bank in Columbus.
I can tell you a little sketch of it. My wife was quite artistic. She's a former school teacher, a kindergarten teacher, specially trained in the Harrison School in Chicago, which is now the Northwest Educational Institution in Edmondson. And she took a great liking to Sullivan, and Sullivan took a great liking to her. They were both smarter than I was, and they were more interested in artistic stuff. I was a businessman, you know. And I didn't know whether I wanted to employ him or not. But I went down with her and called on him in Chicago at his office. And he talked to me a while and wanted to know things about how bad the situation, what my block was and all this and that. And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, if you'll pay my expenses," I'd already said to him, I said, I don't think I could afford to hire you. But I said, and he said, "Well, if you pay my expenses up front, I'll go up and look things over and stay over the night and then you can make the decision if you want to employ me." So I did. We came back and I showed him a lot and I talked to him about my bank and what my ambition was and so forth. I was intensely interested in agriculture at the time. I felt that we could help the farmers to make more money than just exist. That it would be a good thing for the bank as well as them. And I preached that. I was a member of the Agricultural Commission of the American Bankers Association, and I was also a chairman of the Wisconsin Agricultural Committee at the Wisconsin Bankers Association. And I tried to tell him what I was trying to do in helping the farmer, and I'm emphasizing the fact that we're not trying to teach the farmer banking, because we're bankers, not farmers. But we'd like to lead them to people that understand farming and chemistry and rotation of crops and so forth. And we're trying to get classes, and we finally did get a school in Columbus, and Dean Russell was very close to me through all this. And I'm going to talk around a little bit. You can sort out what you want. One day I said, I'm going to Madison. And my wife said, what are you going to do over to Madison? I said, I'm going over there to make a talk to the county agents. They're all going to meet over at the university. Well, what are you going to talk about? I said, I'm going to talk about the purebred bull. Well, she said, what do you know about the purebred bull? Well, I had quite a talk with them, just the same with them, and they knew that I knew something about a purebred bull before I got through, and I had a good talk. Dean, don't repeat this. No, I won't make a statement then.
No, go ahead. Don't
worry. Well, what Dean said to me, he came in while I was getting my oration, and he got through, and he came up and said, say, J.R., he called me J.R., said, J.R., we're going to run you for governor. I said, no, you're not. Well, I'm not competent to be governor, and I don't want it anyway. that's the way. I was very enthusiastic in the thing and telling the county agents what we really needed. Well, now to get back to Sullivan. Sullivan came up and that night he had a narcissistic dance and got him together, and I didn't want to miss it. And he said, you take your wife and go along. It was a hard times party we were attending, and you take your wife along, and I want to do some sketching here anyway. So we left him. When we got back, I found the sketch that he'd drawn. He sketched the bank. Oh, wait a minute. What's up? And then I came back here and went to California to write this sketch. And I looked at it, and my wife was crazy about it right away. Well, yes, that's what we want. He said, I don't know if we want it or not. I said, my goodness, look what it's got against here, the other kind of buildings that are here. And it doesn't harmonize. And she said it does. It'll help people to use better architecture when they're there. And so forth. She didn't talk with Solomon either. So we finally decided to have him, and we got him. Well,
it was that sketch that he showed you, roughly the same sketch that later came, to be
designed? Oh, yes, a very little difference.
Oh.
There was a slight change. Yes, there was one change I'll tell you about. You'll notice in the building there's some figures of lions on the side of the building. One or two spots, and he was going to have a statuary lion on each side of the desk opposite the teller's windows, and when they'd go up there, they'd stand between the two lions to sign their check, and I made him cut that out. I said, no, you can't have that. You starve people to death. And I said, anyway, it's preposterous. We don't want it. I've always thought I'd be very, very sorry that I didn't let him have his way. The only other thing was in the construction of the vault. You're going to have a lot of steel rail hauled in, and did a tremendous expensive job to rebuild that vault. And I didn't want that, but we put in we had an electric ground system anyway. And it's still there, but same thing. And I think the new Adam Federal succeeded to the concern of electrical. And she did that. But I used to have, I'll just go on a little elaborate, a little more.
Okay.
I used to go to Milwaukee once in a while early in the morning. I rushed down one morning and I thought I didn't have any money in my pocket. And I rushed in and twirled the dial. My God, the burglar alarm went off. I was scared stiff. I come out and rushed out the front door and opened the door. Probably seen me in broad daylight. He wouldn't take a shot at me. But we got over that. The next day, my competitor, Fred Chadburn, the First National Bank, he came strolling in. Is there anything we can do for you today? Be helpful. These were great chums anyway, if they were competitive. Well, then he took that, he took those plans and he went back and he was going to have a skylight over the building.
Mm-hmm.
The whole ceiling would be a big skylight. And then it cost too much money. And there was another building. So, other than that, it's built the way he planned it. And those beautiful windows on the Broadway and all lights of that. We used to light the lights Friday night. Saturday, I forgot the lights, but we'd light those lights. But they discontinued that after a while, but they are beautiful. And some of the farmers want to know if I was building the church.
When it was being built. When it was in the process of being built,
yeah.
And they thought halfway up, they'd say, what are you building there? A church?
Yeah. Oh, the fellow who built it, the head mason, the head man, was a fellow from Iowa. And while in the process of it, he came on the bank and he said, say, these fellows, they can't lay brick. He said, they can't lay brick. He said, I can lay five times as much brick as they lay. And he said, if you let me teach them and instruct them in laying this brick, we'll lay a lot more brick than any other way. So I said, go do it. So he did, taught them how to lay brick. And it was that, what I recall, split paving brick, the outside walls. And when that brick was delivered, Sullivan gave instructions. He said, I don't want any sorting of this brick. I want to take it out of the pile just as it comes and leave it in. Don't try to match anything, just lay it. He said, this is going to be a forever rock when you get down.
He said that the wall was going to be an oriental rug.
What?
He said that the wall was going to be an oriental rug.
He said it would be like an oriental rug. He said, I want it to be laid. I don't want it to be picked out by anybody short of brick. I don't think there was any other drastic thing that was said there. Oh, of course, I made one statement. While building this process, I was walking up a very difficult thing for him to say, I thought. And I said to him, you know, this costs a lot of money. I'm going to go broke. And he said, oh, no. He said, what difference does it make? He says, you have the only sovereign building in Wisconsin, in bank building in Wisconsin.
Was he joking?
I went to him and said that to my wife, and she said, well, what of it? He knows what he's talking about.
Well, do you think he was joking, or do you think he really meant it?
No, I think he was perfectly serious about it. He thought that I was getting something of great value because he was the architect. Because he had originality, and he was a great architect, no question about that. He knew it. And that's what my wife said. For a man with a great artist like that, he knows what he is. And he's got a right to think that.
Well, now he stayed some time in your home, didn't he? Did he stay some time in your home?
Oh, I would say, he'd stay 2-3 days, maybe. He supervised it. And he wanted to be, have it right. And I think he went back to Chicago and then came back again. I'm not clear about that. But he didn't spend a great deal of time there, but he spent several days. I really think really what he came for, my wife is a very keen, able woman, and she admired his artistic stuff. And we had seen a building that was constructed somewhere else, which she bought to me, and it did not thing that article referred to.
Mm-hmm.
There were some of them. And, it wasn't a picture of that building. But I visited them. I visited some of Sullivan's buildings. I went and visited the one at Winona. I don't even know what it was.
In Minnesota. The bank he built in Minnesota?
Wait a minute.
Ottawa.
It's not written. What?
Ottawa.
No, that isn't it.
It's the bank he built in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's that great bank. That's what the University of Minnesota was writing about. So did I. I mean, he didn't know that. But I that's really why really employed him, because that bank is a beautiful thing. That Minnesota bank is beautiful. By far and away ahead of anything else in that country bank that was done. Well, he called this box, bank. He said, "You have a jewel box." I thought, "Yes." And I noticed in the report that others have made that they reported that he called all these country banks the jewel box. I didn't know that. He called this the jewel box. The reason I don't think he referred to the other banks as such. And I went down to Sydney, Iowa, I think. Saw a bank down there. And New Jersey, too. Anyway, I visited 2-3 banks, for 2 banks. At least before I applied him. And I made up my mind that, well, I was afraid that it was too garish. And people would try to think I'd put something over. The only bank that built a Masonic temple up there, you know, that the old Grecian temple stuff. And just be smearing across the building and so forth. And he knew much about it quite often. And,
What did he say about the other bank?
Oh, he didn't say anything about the other bank. Oh. Nothing at all. He did say something about the Capitol. And we took him over to dinner one day over there. I think to meet Frank Lloyd Wright. And, Frank Lloyd had his wife there, and we didn't take him to dinner with us that night. My wife was quite provoked about it. I had a reason why I didn't want to do it. If he'd been alone, Frank had it. Well, he probably was all right. But Frank Lloyd Wright said to me, he said, "It's wonderful for you. You know, whether you know it, but it's a wonderful thing for him to be over there with you." He said that. He said, "The master is a great man." He called him the master, you know. And I began to appreciate him before I got through. But he was a socialistic type of fellow. socialistic.
Yeah,
quite so. I don't think he did ever have anything to do with the socialists particularly, but he had the socialist idea in his mind, and my wife was quite that way herself. And I couldn't stand for this stuff.
Sullivan
but a socialist.
Sullivan felt the government should own industry and so on. Did Sullivan think the government should own industry and that type of thing?
No, I don't think so. I know. No, but I think he thought that a lot of enterprises, private enterprises, if they were organized socialistically, owned by the people that, instead of by a few individuals, that would be better for the general welfare. I don't agree with him, but. And I didn't then, and I know now that he's wrong about that. I think you've got to have a great head. You come to a situation where we're talking about business, and different institutions. And if you really have a great institution, there's at least one man. It's a dominating factor. He made that institution, just as my grandfather made his bank, Father Rich Union Bank. They told me the other day that building was a monument to me. I said, that's very kind of him. Since then, they have appointed but Thomas's son, an agricultural department of the bank, and they sent him out to the country with it. And I'm going to talk to him someday about it, because that's a monument to me. It's not the idea that I have. It's making business more profitable and more enjoyable, making country life have a higher plane of life. And get more out of it themselves. That's the thing we ought to be doing too much.
I want to get into that aspect of your life in a few minutes. I'd like to ask you a couple more questions about Sullivan first. When you went to see him first in the Chicago office, how big an office did he have? Can you talk?
No. Had a very small office, there were several people working there, but Sullivan was down and out at that time. He was really down and out. He had made a failure, some stuff he'd done down in the South. He'd married and came separate from his wife, but as I know, I don't think that off anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff out. But his office was diminutive. He wasn't doing any great amount of business. In fact, I made up my mind after I was fired, and actually worked it, that it just saved me. And it kept him on his feet for a while longer. It's the last big building. The last building of any consequence that he ever built.
Mm-hmm.
I think he designed a window or something, somebody else. But I think this is the last structure that he ever built.
Did he have any peculiar mannerisms when he'd walk around looking at the bank going up? Did he like to pull his ear or pull his hair or?
I can't remember about that. He was rather taciturn. Yes, he did. He got interested. He expanded on it, you know, and through the talk. He and my wife got talking a lot. I'm sorry she isn't here to tell you about it. She's been gone for 5 or 6 years.
Long time.
Yeah. I'm a lost man. I lived with her for 61 years.
Did you say you didn't take Sullivan to dinner with Frank Lloyd Wright? You did not?
No, I didn't take him. I'd rather you wouldn't say anything about that. My wife was quite peeved about it afterwards. She didn't say much about it at the moment. But after we were going, I remember the Mass Club. And I'm going over there, Ted Sullivan over there at the Mass Club. And, I don't want to talk about that.
You don't?
No, I've just been.
I'll turn it off.
He's cut it out. He didn't want to pull the name. Sullivan had divorced the wife. I think he divorced her.
Mm-hmm.
But she, I didn't like the idea.
Oh, Frank was right.
Just for the questions about Sullivan.
Okay. Was Sullivan a hard man to get along with? Your opinion?
No, I thought he was very easy to get along with. I had no difficulty. I had some difficulty in one or two cases. For instance, this wasn't contracted. I just hired the labor. And I got the benefit of his partial supervision. But I had, what's his name, Charlie Manson, that book, giving credit for building a building.
Mm-hmm.
So I had him in charge of it. But, I wanted bids. And there's only one opposition that he stood hard on with me. I had to get in. I wanted to bid on the tile. You know what the tile is.
The terracotta.
What?
The terracotta.
Terracotta, yeah. And the terracotta. Always had that. Although this terracotta concern in Chicago.
Yeah.
That the only concern is a man named Snyder. I remember that name very well at that time. He says the only man that can create and make this stuff is I draw it. And I don't want anyone else doing that. I went down there after with him and while they were in the process of making it, and I made the comment to the president of the trial company. I think his name was Gates. I made a comment about it and I said, well, I hope they're going to break into this coffin an awful lot of money. And he says to me, shucks. He said, I hope you're going to break me. I'm doing it for fucking black people.
Well, Sullivan, when he was, when you told him, for instance, that you didn't want to have a skylight put in, when you told him it cost too much to put in a skylight,
yeah.
How did he take that?
Well, he didn't object to that particularly. No, my recollection is that skylight, you couldn't build it now for a lot more. But my recollection is it's going to cost about $2,500. And I had a lot of steel, you know, in that. And the building is already costing more than I figured it. I hadn't ever figured out. I'm putting out a lot of money in the building. And, No, he didn't object to that particularly. He didn't quite like the idea of those lion statues in the lobby, though. He wanted those, you know. And I said, no, I said, you get along without those.
How did he take that?
What?
How did he take that?
Oh, I just simply said, well, hey, any farmer come in here and see these lines that be scared to death. No, he just laughed at me. And I said, well, I said, they're too pretentious. The idea is too pretentious. And I said, this is a country bank, and I don't think you want that. But I regretted it afterwards very much. Wish I would have done it. But many of you, it wouldn't cost very much more to put those things in there.
Do you think he was honest with you about the cost of the bank?
Oh, definitely.
And he told you it would cost such and such?
Oh, he had nothing to do with that. He just put the stuff, he just drew the plans and specifications of what the material would be and this and that. And he sent me to the brick people. And Stair had a devil time putting this addition on.
Yeah, he
got the same brick. He's probably told you about that. And that I didn't question that at all. I just took that all, accepted it. And there's one other contract I had, lumber, the interior finish, oak in the director's room, and another board door and so forth. And he came in from an ordinary concern here in Milwaukee. I won't mention the name, but it was doing a big business with a cheap crowd anyway. And they wanted $11,000, a lot of money, a lot of money. And I thought all the other too much. And so he said, well, you sent it to Matthews here in Milwaukee. And so I sent in Matthews. I didn't know, but never heard of him. I came down and asked the bank about it. They told me, oh, they're a very exclusive hardware handler. They do only special work. And I thought, well, that wouldn't be me. Their bid came in, was $3,000 on the bill. I could hardly get the letter with my order in the mail. And, I didn't think that. What am I going to say about that now? Oh, Mrs. Dank here, Dank, I think her name was, she married a Fitch, and they built a castle on the lake here, and they copied the architecture of European architecture, and she went all over Europe buying antiques and stuff that she wanted. And she had a bar down in the basement, and she had a conveyor, a stairway conveyor, so forth. And she was a very wealthy woman. She had an earl and the Fitch married her, and later on date. And they had an auction. And I went over there. And I found that it had been furnished by Miss Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
They built some of the
matches
up in there.
I'll be dying. How did Sullivan treat the farmers around?
He didn't treat them. He didn't contact them very much. The most contact he got was from my intimate friends around the city and many of the other banks and merchants. But the farmers, I don't think they paid much attention to it.
Did your friends like him? Did your friends like him?
Yes, they all liked him, but they wasn't any even I didn't appreciate what I was doing. It's grown on me as years went on. In fact, it came on me afterwards. Shortly afterwards, I began to realize that we had something that was a great advertisement. We've had business from all over the world, you know, through that bank. A bank says it's kind of money, but I don't deny it. But I like the idea that the bank is kind of going to carry out the idea of the farming element. So I wanted to try it out.
Did you explain these ideas to Sullivan?
What?
Did you explain your ideas to Sullivan?
Oh, yes, very much so.
How did you feel
about
it?
Well, you know, there are cases in the wall, all around there, glass cases inside the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And they were meant for farmers making exhibits of their grains and what they were producing. That's why we put them in there. And that was Sullivan's suggestion. They're recessed in the wall of that coverage, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you suggest your idea about improving the condition of the farmers?
Oh, yes. I talked to him too much about it. I talked to him a lot about it. As a matter of fact, I think that's how he finally accepted the contract, because I don't remember what I paid him, but I didn't pay him any of what I should have paid him, because I didn't realize the time. I thought I paid him a big price. But after I got it all done and I found the effect that it had on the artistic world, I realized that I should have paid him more money. But I don't think he talked very much with the farmers. He might have talked some with them, but he got his ideas about my thoughts of farming community, what I was trying to do, and he wanted to have a building, my office building, that would be fair for me. To display what I was trying to do. That's why I put these cabinets in there. And then it was a long time that the different seeds were put in there. And I suppose we ought to brought in the young Joe Brett Bull.
Yeah, you're an expert on him. Can you think of anything else you'd like to say about Sullivan?
No, I can't. I say this, I regretted seeing it. You want to go ahead?
No, I'm fine.
I regretted seeing it that I didn't manifest myself more vigorously to him, and my approval of him before I got through. You know, I appreciated what he did, if I'd known what I know now, I could have said a lot of things to him that I wouldn't have said. But, you know, the public really taught me, but not the local public. I don't think the local public has waked up to the enormous value that that bank has been to them, and they'll back to the present generation. I went out there when they opened the we're celebrating the rebuilding of the bank, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't been there for a long time. I used to know a man, woman, and child, either by name.
Just one other question occurred to me. Did Sullivan drink much on the job? Did Sullivan drink much on the job?
No, not at all.
No? He was supposed to be quite actively drinking at that time.
Oh, no. That's wrong. He wasn't. He was sober and perfectly calm, and when I first came in, I hired him and asked him to come up now. I didn't even know at that time that he'd been that way. I found it out afterwards. yes, he was a bad dog. He was quite bad one time, very vicious. And,
So you never showed up drunk or anything?
No, never. Never. Not even discussed it. Never thought anything about it. Never even thought that. I just said that. I didn't realize he'd been that way until afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, to change, I guess it's not that big a change, from Louis Sullivan to Harry Lumen Russell.
Uh-huh.
To change from Louis Sullivan now to Harry Lumen Russell. This isn't such a Dean Russell.
Oh, Dean Russell.
Yeah, to change. This isn't such a big change for you.
Well, of course, Dean, I can't remember so much about it. I saw Dean frequently. Because I went to Madison to see where only 2 hours, a couple of hours away from Madison. And I used to go in there and I had them published some weekly papers.
Mm-hmm.
And I subscribed for them. They sent me and we mailed them to our clients all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I admired him very much. He was very enthusiastic and very interesting and very helpful to me. And he liked me and I liked him. He was very congenial. And I was awfully sorry that I didn't see more of him later on in years. I felt that bad in 1919. And I sold the bank.
At the time when, now I know someone who's doing some research on Russell. I know someone who's doing some research about Russell's life.
Oh,
and he tells me that Russell was kind of a hard man to get along with. In other words, Russell told people how he wanted things done.
Well, now I could elaborate on that a little bit. Russell knew he knew his business. And he was hit. He was in. He wasn't pompous or anything of that kind, but he just knew that he was the real thing, same as Sullivan did about Sullivan being an architect. And and I worshipped him. And but as far as agreeableness, I couldn't think of anybody who'd been more agreeable and charming than Dean Russell was. Because to me, it's fine. I would say that he might have been rather arbitrary because having younger men under him was subordinate to him to do things and do corrections. They might have been arguing about it or made suggestions or something. I don't know that. But I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of young fellows, unmatured fellows, they want to get their idea in things too. But Dean Russell was a very considerate man. I can't imagine he would be arbitrary. I would think he had a great understanding of a younger man and worked with him. I'm sure he did.
When you went in to discuss the banker-farmer movement with him, he was always friendly with you?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. Oh, yes. More than that, he admired me in what I was doing. And only we put on a special train, you know, for going around the state. And he was helpful in that. because they had charge of it, the train.
Mm-hmm.
But we did, we paid the expenses and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not my bank, the Wisconsin Bank Association.
Mm-hmm.
I was president of the Wisconsin Bank Association.
Mm-hmm.
In 1916-17, and I knew all the bankers in the state, and they knew me, and they were active. And
well, did the dean ever discuss his hopes for the farming community with you? Did Dean Russell ever discuss what he hoped might happen to farmers with you?
No, but I'll tell you something from last year that I laughed about. I wish I could have seen him sometimes we talked to him. I went out to talked to him and I said, well, you know, this seed that we're getting here, that's climbing to the particular area that we're going to grow this corn, I said, you know, I had showed him some examples of what had happened in my own experience. And I said, well, you know where they got a million bushels in Illinois, if they keep on doing what we're doing now, they'll have 10 million. What are we going to do with all this corn? And he looked at me. He said, you won't live long enough to have that problem.
He was wrong.
How wrong he was.
You mean he really didn't think that surplus would form a problem?
No, yes. Oh, at that time, it wasn't a problem at that time. Yes and no. Farmers didn't handle their stuff right. They weren't scientific in their rotation, and it wasn't until this agricultural work that we had took a part in, it wasn't until after that that they began to wake up and touch out the things themselves, you know, and I could see the increase. I took I bought 10 years of corn over to Madison, the prize, the first prize for the state, and I bought it over, and I rented a piece of land, not jointed my place, but across the track, and I seeded that land to these relief. When the man went in, I said, well, you'll use a cob down the end of this line. And then I said, don't use it again. Use next another cob, and then when it goes further along, you can come back to another cob. I wanted to do that so the pollinization would be best. One of my tanning company story, in talking to farmers around the country that I visited, the way the same as we were.
Well, this corn, did you ever talk about this with this corn problem with Dean Russell? You talked about this corn with Dean Russell quite a bit, didn't you?
Oh, yes, but I got the inspiration from another man. Oh, what was it? He was celebrating his genius and the originators of the agriculture department there.
Mr. Henry?
Henry, that's it.
Uh-huh.
I heard him talk and blow it to the down at Poppy Bagging down there. And he gave a talk. I was tremendously impressed by it. That's what done his side of it.
Well, did Russell have any interesting mannerisms? Did he put, when you went in to talk to him, would he put his feet up on the table or?
No, nothing. No, neither did I. No, we were just natural human beings. We weren't trying to show off to each other or have our fingers in the vest or anything of that kind. No, He's a very good scout. I liked him very much. You gotta go fishing with him, maybe. I did. I went with him. And he was me.
Was he a good fisherman?
Yeah, he liked to fish. He liked to fish, but he wasn't as crazy as I was about it. He had his fishing tackle along with him and his boy, but I didn't see them very much fishing. I guess they got some fish. Well, that was quite a duckling we got. I went down all over. Nothing turned up ready to swim. The water was really about up in the hips. Close up shallow, you know.
What did he talk about on fishing trips, Russell?
Well, I can only say in a general way, not the conversation. Was probably more mine than his. I talked about my banking problem. So I came there and took a man to my bank when I was 22 years old.
Uh-huh.
And my father used to come down once 30 days to look me over. And he lived in La Crosse. I brought up in La Crosse. And I talked to him about the bank and my ambition and these things that I talked to you now. I talked to him, and he talked to me about what could be done in the way of developing our business, and helpful and encouraging to me. And I don't think there was any special subject that he was particularly interested in. I wonder, I don't think his wife was living. I think she passed away. And all I knew was this boy. And I know this. I'm the only child I ever knew that he had.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when they referred to his daughter-in-law had been one that had informed him, I assumed it must be Elton's wife.
Did Dean Russell like baseball, for instance? Did Dean Russell talk about baseball?
Oh, I
or
think
football?
So. I think so. I don't know. They all like football. I was always more crazy about football. Except when I was a year more myself. Then I played ball and I loved it. Crazy about the football. But I didn't. I played football a little bit, but not much.
Well, did Dean Russell talk about this much? Talk about, football game or something?
No, I don't really. I have no doubt they did. But I don't recall. I don't recall at all. I was always so much interested in agriculture, the agricultural work that I was doing, and that the university was doing. And I know I felt it was a crime that more of the young people weren't going to university. And I was right about that, too.
Did politics ever enter into to your discussions with...
Politics?
Yeah.
No. I think both the Dean and I, avoided that subject purposely.
You had a difference of opinion?
No, we have a difference of opinion. No, 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 no. And we were both alike. We were conservative, prudent, businessmen, and oh no. I like to call it. I just stand him up and down. And he made the railroads put down and got the railroads power reduced to 3.22 cents a mile, and I thought, no, it's coming very well, how much it charged. And I thought that always, the government's no business telling the man how much he charged. It's his business. Corporation either. But, he never got into any political discussion. And I think both of us avoided that.
For any particular reason?
Yes, I avoided politics because I thought it was, I thought it was death penalty my business. But I wasn't supposed to be a politician, and I didn't want to take any leadership in it. I was wrong, and very wrong about it. No question about that. I said I regretted it always. Because later on in years, I got very active. And Governor Phillips, when I was president of the Wisconsin Bank Association, he put me on the Council of Defense, Wisconsin Council of Defense, representing the banks at that time. And I think that the country has been too indifferent to the duties of politics, as long as one of the building ones too.
Well, you mentioned you were on the Wisconsin Council for Defense. I presume then that you opposed Senator LaFollette's war stand. He was against it.
Well, I called him a renegade. He wasn't an American citizen. He was opposed to the first war, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was violent. So we're down here holding this socialist man. That's his name.
Berger?
Berger, yeah. I don't think Republicans, they were particularly social themselves. I don't think they met much. I guess they knew each other and all like that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't classify the following as certain.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't like his attitude and compelling. The same thing that Franklin Roosevelt did.
Uh-huh. Well, now, you might be interested in this. There is a historian who says that the same people who supported LaFollette were the same people who supported Joe McCarthy. How does that strike you? Some other people say the opposite.
I don't know. I didn't like McCarthy. And I didn't know him. All I knew is what I read in the papers from him. I never read him. But I didn't admire him. And I don't think McCarthy. You think that McCarthy grew out of the development of the LaFollette Society?
I didn't say this. This is someone else who said this.
Yes. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. This is far, that's far apart. I would imagine McCarthy was a very young fellow. He must have been a lot younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been a friend of LaFollette's. I don't know. Well, that's you.
No, but when you think of people in Columbus or in Milwaukee who liked LaFollette, you probably knew some who thought LaFollette was pretty good. You probably knew people who did like LaFollette.
I don't think LaFollette wasn't popular in Columbus.
Oh, I see.
No. I don't think so.
Well, what did you feel was wrong about McCarthy? What did you feel was wrong about McCarthy?
About McCarthy?
Yeah.
Oh, I I didn't like his attitude. He was a son of a
mm-hmm.
He was too blunt, and I didn't think he was tall politic, and that he was a crude sort of an individual to be sent down there for as a senator, United States Senator in Wisconsin. I didn't know the man, and I only judged him from what he did and the newspaper notoriety that he got, and I thought he invited trouble and all this and that, and that it wouldn't do any good. And I wasn't afraid of him at all. I didn't think he was upsetting the nation in any way. He was probably upsetting himself more than anybody else. Now you've got some discussion on here, Mr. Mann. But I'm not so happy.
Look at this. See how it's turning now?
And the rest is what?
You see how it's turning? Can you see this thing turning?
Yes, I can.
Now watch. Now watch.
Because I want to talk, but you know, I think you give me a little advice on that, maybe. I think when I'm going to talk, think about machine, and as I think along, outline the subject generally as I'm going to discuss, and instead of turning the machine on at all, but have some guide so that I can talk. There are times, and I've exhibited that to you, I'll forget myself, but you'll get me then.
Oh, why would we get, what do you mean,
I don't need any guide, really.